Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks. I kind of forgot there for a second who I was. No, I remember now. I'm me. I'm Jamie Rocks. And this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you did. That's pretty cool. When one thinks about all the various podcasts out there, it seems like everybody's got one, which I think is great. And you found ours. And we're very happy to have you. I'm very excited for today's guest. We have a returning guest. She's been on the show before, and we hang out all the. No, we really don't. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since our guest has been on, and let me put it this way. This is the episode we're doing today. What is it? It's episode 1355, and last time she was on, she was guest number 38. Way back when I first started doing this, and she's back, and it's such a neat story. We're going to get into all that. So without further ado, author of the fantastic book, The Brainwashing of My Dad, and the great documentary of the same name, I'd like to welcome filmmaker and author Jen Senko. Jen, how are you? Long time no talk to.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and thank you for interviewing me early on when, I was just getting used to interviewing, and I think it was just shortly after when my movie came out, right?
Yeah, no, I think it was before, because you were still doing the Kickstarter, doing the crowdsourcing.
Oh my goodness, you're right. Wow, thank you for supporting me then. I'm sure that helped.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's so interesting because what had happened is I had recently moved to South Florida from the West Coast, and in my day job, I'm a painter. I paint pictures of people and stuff and have been doing that for a long time. And when I lived out in California, I used to hang out at a lot of nightclubs. I thought I was Andy Warhol or something. Those were the people who were buying, that's where they were hanging out, the people that were buying paintings. So, went out a lot. Yeah, and I was single, and I was young, and whooping around, young and dumb. Yeah. And
I had those days, too. Yeah.
Well, I can barely remember mine, but it was a long time.
I'm glad I survived mine.
exactly. Everybody's like, I try to tell people that. I'm like, I didn't plan to be here this long. I never thought I'd make it past, 35. I think this is all bonus time for me, I'm very appreciative of it. I had moved to South Florida, and a friend of mine told me, he goes, where are you going to hang out at the nightclubs? And I said, no, the whole reason I'm in South Florida is I met a girl. I'm all in love. I got a girl now. I said, that's how you lose a girl, hanging out at nightclubs, it's just not a smart plan. So he said, why don't you start doing this podcasting? All these famous people from California and stuff. And I said, well, I know a couple, but I don't know anything about podcasting or how to do any of that. So that never stopped me from doing anything before, not knowing how to do it. So I started doing it. And I got to tell you, I got to about 30 people, and I ran out of famous people I knew to be on the podcast. I'm like, I don't know who I'm going to talk to now. And for fun, I used to scroll through Kickstarter just to try to be inspired. I said, look at these cool people trying to do something. This is amazing. I wish I would have thought of Kickstarter. What a great idea. And that's how I came across you. And I think I sent you off an email saying, hey, I got this little podcast. Do you want to be on and talk about your project?
Yeah.
And I tell people that because everybody starts these podcasts now that I'm an old man doing them. They always ask me, where do you get all your guests? And I said, a fantastic line. I tell them this story. I said, go on Kickstarter. These people would love to be on your podcast talking about their project, you know?
Yeah.
And
right.
The amazing thing, folks. So Jen, I remember because I followed her Kickstarter. I really got into her project, this documentary she was going to make or finish making. I can't remember the details exactly, but I was watching her Kickstarter, and you made your goal. And then they do those, what do they call them, stretch goals or something? You started making stretch goals. And everybody was on board with it, you know?
Yeah. It kind of happened all of a sudden. At first, it was really slow going. And then somebody donated $5,000. I think it was Jody Evans. Chunk. And from Code Pink. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like that kickstarted other people. And then the word got around and people were like, I want to be a part of this project, you know, because it was such a common story. Yeah. And then it just took off and it kept going.
I'm telling you, Kickstarter should make a video with you on it saying exactly this and saying, see, this is how it works.
Well, I am getting paid for saying that. No, just kidding.
Well, you should be.
Kickstarter?
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the dream, you know? That is the dream of anybody. Yeah. I don't care if they're trying to make a deck of cards. What is that? There's so many things on Kickstarter where they're trying to make decks of cards. I'm like,
It was a lot of money to me at the time, but it was still a drop in the bucket for a movie, you know, to make the kind of movie that I made. So fortunately, after that, we through Kickstarter, met someone who happened to be independently wealthy and very, very, very liberal and very, 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 very much into what we were doing. And he kicked in, too, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without him. Yeah,
that's
patriot,
amazing.
A true patriot, yeah.
That
a patron
is amazing.
And patriot, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and folks, they're out there. They're out there. And I don't care what your dream is and what your passion is. You know, if you're looking to – no, Kickstarter doesn't mess around. You can't take the money you make from Kickstarter and pay your electric bill, keep the lights on. You know, they chuck all this stuff and – I have a good friend of mine. She's a musician. She's made 7 albums, all funded through Kickstarter. And, she does quite well. But she told me, she said, understand, Jamie, doing a Kickstarter campaign is like taking on an extra full-time job.
Absolutely.
That you're going to work about 80 hours a week on.
Absolutely.
Because it isn't just... You don't just put it up and wait for people to happen to stroll by, you know. It is.
It's a full-time job. You're sitting there at your computer all day, like, monitoring, and you're thinking of things to update it with. And you have to reach the goal or else you don't get the money. So.
Right. That's the carrot. That's the carrot on the stick. Yeah, because you want to make your movie or whatever it is. What's amazing. Yeah. Well, folks, Jen made her movie. She made her documentary. It's fantastic. It's so good. I remember watching it.
I was amazed.
And it was just fantastic. And the way it all went about. And since then, you know, she kind of faded into obscurity. No, that didn't happen at all. suddenly, she's an expert on CNN and all these shows and Good Morning America.
And Joy Reid.
And Joy Rhea, I mean, I that's why I contacted you again, Jen. I saw that video of you on Joy Rhea.
Cool. Thank you, Joy Rhea.
I saw it a couple times on my feed, not from you posted, from other people posting it. And
really?
I was like, I said, I know Jen. I remember Jen. Let me dig out her
email. Yeah, I can get
email.
Her on my podcast again.
I said, I got to do a follow-up show.
Because
now she has the book. And this is amazing. I just can't be.
Yeah.
I love it when my friends and people that are acquaintances and stuff that I, people I meet, when they are successful at what they're doing, you know? It just inspires me, and I dig it.
Thank you.
And this happened to you, you know? You made this happen. How cool.
Yeah.
How cool.
I had to.
And
I had to, if
so
it was
cool.
The last thing I did. Yeah. And it almost was the last thing I did. It almost,
well, you
almost,
know,
almost
you
killed me.
On,
I got pneumonia and shingles. Yeah.
Well, it was. Well, I'm glad you made it through all that. Oh my gosh. That pneumonia committee. I mean, you know, we all know somebody who's somebody passed away from pneumonia. You know, I mean, that can be real serious. And shingles is no joke either. Shingles. I don't understand
it
shingles.
It wasn't real bad. It wasn't real bad shingles. Thank God. But the pneumonia, that really kicked my ass. I was down for at least 3 months, and you're so tired when you have pneumonia. It's unbelievable how tired you are. You get tired getting up off the couch to walk to the bathroom.
I hate being sick. I hate it. I hate it. There's nothing worse. And and I hate when you get a long illness like that and you're sick of being sick.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm sick of it.
Right. Right.
I need to be healthy.
Like, like the first time you maybe get a cold for the winter, like when I was at work, or, you know, and then you get to stay home a day and have a lot of tea and watch TV. It's okay, but it gets old fast.
Well, you know, I don't even want to get ahead of myself here, but folks, when she was on, when Jen was ringing the alarm bell, this was pre-Trump. This was 2013. I mean, he was around, but he wasn't president, you know what I mean? We were in our old condo. We hadn't even got the house yet. And, when that election happened, I'm telling you, we were like bees in a beehive whose queen had died. We were just wandering around, bumping into walls. We didn't know what we, you know, I'm like, we just took our $400,000 house. This is great. Really can't move to Norway now.
Out
of here. Yeah. There had to be, and then of course all this stuff and the pandemic. I mean, so much has happened in the last 10 years. Where do you start, really? But you were the one. You were one of the most vocal. Hey, folks, there's a problem here. You know, and I don't think you don't seem the type of person to me, Jen, to say this. I absolutely am the type of person to say this. She told us so. She told everybody so. She was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Running around with my hair on fire. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you think most of your listeners know the story?
No. Let us know. Let them know. Because even if they do know, I want them to hear it again. It is so important.
I'll just recap it, and apology to those that are hearing it again. But my story, the reason why it's important, because by now it's the story of, tragically, it's the story of millions of Americans and also overseas. So in the late 80s and 90s, my family, we started to notice really peculiar changes in my dad's personality. He was crankier, and he used to pretty much be in a good mood all the time, and he seemed to anger easily. And though he had always been a progressive Democrat, he started to trash Democrats, and we were just middle of the road Democrats. You know, he was like an FDR JFK Democrat. And it was it was after he partially retired. He got a part-time job with a long commute. And one day when I came down from New York, he was listening to talk radio, and it happened to be that openly sexist and racist combat radio host, Bob Grant, who was often called the father of conservative radio. So that was one thing. But Grant was like his gateway drug, because when he fully retired, like a year or two later, he got hooked on Rush Limbaugh. And I mean, he looked hard. He was like a crushing schoolgirl, you know, like just in love. He commandeered the kitchen in order to listen to Limbaugh for the full 3 hours every day.
And your
then
poor
his
mother.
Personality, oh, yeah. She had him build heavy doors on the kitchen so she didn't have to hear Limbaugh. But the thing is it was like invasion of the body snatchers because his personality in politics just completely changed. And he had an enemy. Devils and liberals were the un-American spawn of Satan to him. And he was just obsessed with his new politics. Yeah, and you couldn't talk about any other subject without him making it political. You know, the weather, then it was about the hoax, global warming, and all that. And he hated Bill Clinton with an almost psychotic passion. And then in the mid-90s, when email became commonplace, he would send us, the family, and any of our friends that he happened to have their email addresses. He would send between 2 and 20 emails a day, and they were all saying similar things like that Rush Limbaugh said. You know, and these emails were made out to be like to sound folksy, but you know, later on, years later, I found that they were a lot of them were created in a conservative, quote unquote, conservative think tank, you know, by guys. Many of them were, and you could tell there was a lot of similarities. So I observed this chilling pattern. They all, in some way or form, bash Democrats or liberals and their values. And it was suspicious to me, and it seemed coordinated. I'm like, no, this, wait a minute, and dangerous. So I wanted to find out what was going on, you know, especially when Fox came into the picture in 1996. You know, I just started reading and researching, and what I was learning kind of matched up with what Hillary Clinton said in 1998 about a vast right-wing conspiracy. It was like a light bulb went on, and I discovered that there were forces at work to change America, forces that were never ever able to get over FDR and his, you know, work towards equity. And also due in part to the social movements that were growing, you know, at the time in the 60s and 70s with civil rights and women's rights and Brown versus Board of Education and anti-war movements.
Oh,
they were like,
the rise of LGBT and all of that.
Holy fuck, we're losing our vision of America as, you know, our one-party rule vision with the free market. So... Oh, but the good news about my dad, though, this is very important, because my mom mostly was able to deprogram him when his media diet was changed. You know, a few things happened, and, you know, like his radio broke when they moved. He couldn't listen to Limbaugh. He went in the hospital once for a kidney stone, and she unsubscribed him from these emails and resubscribed him to some liberal emails, and he just read everything. Yeah, he ended up voting for Obama, the guy who called the stamp president.
Nice.
So I ended up making the documentary. And then a little while later, I kept researching, and I'm like, I have to connect more dots, and I wrote the book.
Well, I want to interject here, because I know conservative people, and I know they're like, well, they're, you know, you're saying conspiracy. Well, what about the liberal conspiracy? Hey, folks, you know what? The liberal progressive side didn't have to pay almost $1 million. Hi, Jamie. This is editing, Jamie, and that was $1 billion, almost $1 billion with a B. For, you know, I mean, look at the track record here. It turns out everything Jen was worried about was happening. They were trying to do this, and there's proof in a court of law that they were. You know?
Part of the conspiracy was to make was to present other conspiracies and make them think that there was a liberal conspiracy. But liberals, like trying to organize liberals is like trying to herd cats. And they just
right.
don't have the funding and the infrastructure the way these powerful corporations and these oil barons and then the Christian magnates, the gun enthusiasts, you know, they got their shit together and they organized. While we were sleeping, you know, and listening to our iPods and whatever, you know, enjoying life,
mm-hmm.
they're organizing. They're organizing to change America, and that's what they did. And I knew it would be bad, but I had no idea it would be this bad. I really thought, well, somebody's going to pay attention to my movie and my book. I don't know why I would naively thought that. And somebody will do something about it. But it didn't happen. I have to say now, there are people that are finally active and jumping on the you know, they realize the importance, having a voice in the media. You know, truth in media is my passion because this is largely why we're here. Yes, there were think tanks and there were, you know, they attacked the judiciary and the schools and the pulpits and all that. But the media is what transmitted this.
Right.
This.
Well, they were the dealer. They were the ones selling this drug. You know, and I get it. They need viewers, and you know, they like those checks from the Gulf magazine coming in and whatnot. You know, and I tell people
that's not what it was about.
No,
for Limbaugh, that's what it was about. But for Fox, the goal right from the get go was to convert viewers into Republican votes and to get the masses to vote against their own interests.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
And in the interest of billionaires, which they do because they're so angry at liberals who are destroying America and eating children.
Right, in pizza parlors.
They're not really, by the way.
No. Anybody out there, that's the whole thing, too,
children.
Is most of us that, and I'm not saying I can speak for myself. I'm not saying I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm not saying that I'm very sophisticated in my geopolitical knowledge or whatnot, But at the same time, there's just some common sense, man. If you're an evangelical Christian and your guy, your champion, your white knight is having affairs with porn stars and stuff, you might have picked the wrong horse, What is your gut telling you?
But before that they had, in some cases, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years,
right,
of indoctrination to make room for that. They just figured, well, since he'll say anything, he's got to be the one, because he's bold enough to break all the boundaries. And they mistook his crudeness and inability to articulate as authentic.
It's just really weird. We're seeing the same thing. I live in Florida, and we're seeing that with the Santa
out
there. Believe me, so am I. And I talk to people, friends and family they're like, oh, this is, DeSantis, and I'm like, DeSantis is trying to get the largest employer in the state to leave. I said, I grew up in Detroit. I remember what happens when the largest employer closes factories and leaves, and you suddenly have a 42% unemployment rate. I've seen the results of that in person.
Right.
I said, you guys are crazy. And then he pisses off all the brown people. I'm like, oh, that's great. The second largest employer in the state. Are you kidding me? I said, I'm ringing the bells down here,
You actually meet people that like him, Jamie?
I do, and, he won by such a large margin that there's, and it's weird, and it's bizarre, because a lot of them are elderly, and I'm like, you guys realize these guys are trying to cut off Medicaid, all the money you paid, they're trying to rob you of it. You understand that, right? They're like, well, what do you mean? They wouldn't do that. No, that is a big agenda of theirs. That is a big plan. They will admit that.
Right.
Like backed into a wall.
Ever since the 50s, it's been a plan.
Yeah. I said, that's theft that, from you, out of your pocket. If I came into your house and was stealing your stuff, you'd be upset. Why are you not equally upset at this?
One tactic that they're very good at is pretending that they are the voice of the people. And
right.
then they attack. And that's like, you know, that comes from Goebbels, you know, way back.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Well,
they've
and
expanded on that. Mm-hmm.
You know, and othering people. I'm telling you, when Trump rose to power, I remember seeing, you know, union members of people I knew in Detroit that were jumping. I'm like, you guys are jumping on the slick con man real estate guy from New York bandwagon. You know, it's laughable. You know, when you were working at the factory and a guy showed up in a tie telling you a line of bullshit, you kind of knew it. You know?
Yeah.
What's the difference here?
No, I'm from New York, and, you know, Trump was a joke to us. I hate to give away my age, but I remember seeing him at Studio 54 and, you know, quietly amongst ourselves, we would just kind of roll our eyes and make fun of him. He was such a douchebag. Yeah.
Trump's personality to me reminds me of I was pretty popular in high school, and I kind of knew every. I was one of those weird, you know, I was the art guy. I was one of those weird guys that went to every party and all this and that. Trump seemed kind of like the guy that really wanted to be cool, and he wanted to hang out really bad with all the cool. And, yeah, you know, he might get into a party once or twice, but everybody was like, oh, this guy's trying way too hard, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the type he is, you know. At the same time, if you're behind the bleachers having a smoke, he's definitely going to tell on you. He's also that guy, you know. Because some girl he likes thinks you have good hair or something. You know, I mean, that's his personality. And, you know, and I got to
say. Yeah, he can be very charming. So I think that, you know, as dumb as he is, he's got a certain brilliance, like a brilliant intuition. He knows
like a savant or something.
Yeah, he knows how to charm people. He knows how to bullshit them. I mean, you know, if you're seeing it from the outside, you're not necessarily, like we did in New York, you weren't charmed. But there's people that do get charmed by him.
Absolutely. And it happens. Yeah. It happens even in the modern era with Santos and some of these other. That's another thing, man. You know, because of it, we've had the rise of all of these just idiots. I mean, people that literally should have been run out of town on a rail are now in positions of power. And have a voice? Oh, my God. I watched some gal from Georgia the other day going on about the globes and how, well, why are there globes everywhere? Why are they pushing that agenda? I'm like, they're pushing the agenda because the Earth is a globe, you moron. What the hell is wrong with you?
I didn't see anything about globes being pushed.
Had some podcast video cast she was doing. You know, Jen, what helped me with all of this, and not that I'm over it, because I'm, you know, I have a functioning brain. I was born with critical thought. I still get worked up about it, but what helped me a lot is I got a dog. I used to scream at the news like my father-in-law watches a hockey game, you know? What is wrong with you? And I got this dog, and I quickly realized the dog was playing off me. The dog was crazy. He's in the corner, growling, carrying on. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with this dog? And my wife pointed it out. She said, the dog is mirroring you. You're upset. And I said, I got to start calming down. Otherwise, my dog is going to have an aneurysm here, let alone me. So I started, that's why I got into the organic gardening and started doing other things to kind of disconnect for a minute, you know?
And And how's your dog now?
Oh, she's great. She's the best dog ever. Everybody, what's that famous quote? Everybody says they have the best dog, and they're right. You know.
Yeah, but you couldn't honestly say that before. So that's something.
That's true.
Just reading an article about animal intelligence. I mean, we underestimated it for forever. Now it's not being underestimated anymore. But
no,
anyway,
yeah. Well,
go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was just saying, it helps me. You know, it helps me. By no means. I think it's a mistake, and I have friends that tell people, oh, just never watch the news. Just you won't get upset. No, living in a vacuum is not the answer.
Yeah,
living in a vacuum, you'll wake up in Berlin, 1938, which
exactly. You can't put your head in the sand either. You have to temper it, you know. You have to have your garden. For the first time in my life, I have a garden, too. The first time ever. It's a tiny little patch. I live in my mom's senior community because I take care of her. She's 103 now. And there's a little...
God bless her. That is awesome.
Well, she loves her wine. She's got to have her wine every night. She likes to she's very funny. Sometimes she's very funny. She's kind of a drama queen, too, when she doesn't feel well. She's a real drama queen.
Oh, yeah.
But most of the time we get along.
Think of what she's lived through.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Born in 1920, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Great Gatsby era.
Yeah, she remembers Hoover, how they hated Hoover and how they loved FDR. You know, and they made up this little song about Hoover and the Hoovervilles. And, you know, that's why she's a Democrat, because they saw what FDR did for the country.
That's right. The New Deal, folks.
Yeah.
If you like going to Las Vegas works and lights up and is very pretty because of Hoover Dam. And they didn't just name it after the guy, you know.
He made that happen.
He was instrumental. That was, you know, there was a reason it's called the Hoover Dam. You know, a lot of power out there.
Oh, and, I see.
My wife just went to Vegas for the first time, and she wants to move to Las Vegas. I'm like, no, we're not moving to Las Vegas.
It's beautiful. Somebody just sent me all these pictures of near where they live in Las Vegas, and I found at least that area was enchanting.
Yeah? Well, your hair will look amazing. That's what she told me. She goes, oh, my God, I didn't have to buy hairspray for the whole trip. Roll out of bed, and I look like a model. It's amazing. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. You know what I wanted to say, Jen, about your garden, which I think is awesome. There is no better feeling, and this is what people don't get who haven't gardened. When it works, when you actually start with a seed or something or a small plant, and it grows and you get some food off of it, it's an amazing
thing. Yeah.
Nothing better. I'm like, wow, I made this happen.
You're growing food too?
Oh yeah. Oh man. My wife says I take the fun out of the garden. I actually have a separate computer dedicated to keeping track of how much the poundage of food and it is like serious business in our garden. But I do that. That's part of my purpose. I don't do anything small. You know what I mean? If I get into something, I get into it. And
Are you still painting?
Oh yeah, every day. That's what pays for the garden. And the podcast. We monetized the podcast years ago. But the thing is, you know, I think you're right. You need stuff like that. Whether it be painting or cooking or whatever it is, you know? If you're passionate, don't buy a boat and put a bunch of flags on it and go, Don't put a flag on your truck and drive all over town. That isn't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you have those here.
Pretty, I bet. We have them here, too, in this area of New Jersey. Sometimes you'll see a Trump flag it used to be all pretty much mostly Democrat. I'd say it's maybe a little more Democrat than Republican, but still it's kind of scary sometimes when you see those. What were those flags that meant, like, we fight to the death? It's like a black flag and then has some white on it. But yeah, I've seen it. You see a couple of those. That's a little scary. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have noticed in our neighborhood in 2016, almost every other lot, every other house had some sort of Republican signage they had put out.
Yeah.
You know, they had bought or went out and ordered it or whatever. And, you just saw it everywhere. I will say, and I get that we're a year and a half away from the election. You don't see it. You don't even see DeSantis. And, you know, we live in an upper middle class neighborhood. It's pretty what you would imagine in South Florida. A little beach town, but it's, it's I'm not saying we live in a pinky out kind of neighborhood, but it's, everybody's got new cars, you know.
Oh,
a lot of them,
wow.
Have three letters in their logo, BMW. It's that type of neighborhood. But,
yeah.
You know, you just don't see it. And I think that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, it's a change from before. So.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Would you?
Maybe all these lawsuits and everything are having an effect. I don't know. Maybe your book.
Would you normally have started? Yeah. Would you normally, a year and a half out from an election, start seeing some signs of, election?
You know, it's interesting. There's a guy two blocks over, and he's of a certain age and whatnot, and he had the Let's Go Brandon and the Trump flag and all that kind of stuff. And this is relatively new. I would say a couple months ago, a good 3 or 4 months ago, he had these up. Now they're not. When that Fox lawsuit happened, they came down, and now there's an American flag up. Yep.
You're kidding. Just,
I'm not saying that that's proof of correlation. I'm just saying, it seems like a weird coincidence to me. You know.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I mean, it could be a good indication.
Well, you know, my wife said, she's like, I'm glad he took those flags down now, you know, especially with Halloween coming in the fall. Now the kids can actually go to that house. I'm like, that guy's not passing out candy. Are you kidding me? That's why we got to pass out double because of him.
Scary. It's scary.
Well, let me ask you this. You're in a senior. You're living, taking care of your mom. God bless you, too. You know, that is awesome. That's amazing. Are you
Thank
seeing
you.
Signs and flags or anything in your community where you're at?
No, nothing. Nothing that I haven't seen already. I mean, there are a lot of American flags in this because it's a senior community.
Right.
But nothing indicative of like election promotion or anything like that. No. Nobody
else
talking about it or anything. Yeah.
No, I do have a sign.
I see somebody on the truck. Yeah. Occasionally I do see somebody with a pickup truck with a big flag that says Trump 2024. Sometimes
right.
I see Trump 2020 also.
Now, see, we used to have those down here riding around and whatnot. And it was the weirdest thing, too. There's a little grocery store. It's not the nearest grocery store, but it's 6 blocks away in a little strip mall, very South Florida. And it's called Sprouts. And it's kind of a cheaper Whole Foods, you know, but it's where all the organic people shop and gluten-free and all that. That's what they're known for. And if you want to get vegetables and produce, you go to Sprouts because they have the best.
Oh.
It's expensive, but... That and there was a guy who worked there, and we would always try to figure out who he was because he had one of those trucks with the Trump flag in the back that worked there at the hippie place. Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. And we could never figure out, like me and my wife would always, we're like, is that him, do you think? Is that guy? Like, no, that guy's got he's got a Pride t-shirt on. that's not him. That's definitely not him. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was a Log 11 guy. I don't know. But, but I don't know if he got fired or if people were keying his car. I don't hope that at all, folks. I don't know. But anyway, I haven't seen the truck nor the flag. So maybe he just got a different car and he can't put a flag on it. I don't know. Or maybe the company, maybe the store said, parked down the street or something. But I haven't seen it anywhere. I haven't seen any of those driving around in a good 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they're all just pro DeSantis. I don't know. I said, wouldn't they have a DeSantis flag? Wouldn't they have, retired the Trump one?
I don't think DeSantis has a logo yet, do they?
No.
I can't picture a graphic for DeSantis.
I'm thinking of the Ghostbuster sign, but instead of a ghost, it's got a Mickey Mouse head in it. maybe that.
Maybe you suggest that to
want to. I don't want to be responsible for that. I don't want to go out and know that's what I'm famous
or
for,
with a,
you know?
Or with a Trump head in the middle.
Yeah. With steam coming out of his ears. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Now, let me ask you this. Now, the brainwash, we have a link up, folks. And I want to say it's very easy to find. All you got to do is type in www.thebrainwashingofmydad.com. And that's
right.
Jen's main website. And from it, we also have links up to all the social media and YouTube and everything. And those links stay active, folks, when we turn this into a podcast. So you can, if you're listening to this on iHeartRadio or Pandora or Spotify or something, click on those links and you can get there. But when you go to her website, this is a great website because obviously, you know, Jen's like, Jamie's an old man. We've got to make this simple, so easily to navigate because he gets confused. I don't get confused on this website. I love it. You can right at the top here, buy the book, stream the film, watch the trailer, share your personal story. You must get a lot of those.
Over the years, I've heard from thousands of people with their stories about how their loved one personality changed and their relationship changed. And, you know, like I said, this is like an epidemic in America, and it's really tragic. It's almost like a mass psychosis, but it's been a major like PSYOP operation. And, you know, I used to be afraid to say that people would think like, oh, she's a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a theorist. This was a real conspiracy. Occasionally in time, there are real conspiracies, and this is the real one, folks.
Absolutely.
You know,
I just, I've told this before. I used to have a very funny joke that I used to say at parties. I thought I was very clever, and yeah, I thought it was funny. I would say, the government conspiracy theories. I've been to the DMV. I've been to the post office. Could you honestly see those people doing some big conspiracy? And ha, 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 and I thought it was very clever and everything. And then what happened, ladies and gentlemen, WikiLeaks dropped. Snowden happened. And I'm like, suddenly my joke wasn't funny anymore because there were proof that that happened. Now, I'm not saying people are reading my emails. If anybody's reading my emails, I feel bad for them. I feel so, because that's got to be the most boring job in the world. There's nothing exciting in my emails. Jen probably has good emails, I would imagine.
Sometimes I find it hard to hold back. Same with me on Twitter lately. By the way, I'm on Twitter at brainwashingdad, and then also at Jen_Senko. And I used to be more careful about what I posted on at Brainwashing Dad because, you know, there's other people that helped with the film, and it kind of represents the team. But lately,
right.
I have just, like, I just, something happened, and it's no holds barred, and I'm just, it's like Tourette's syndrome. I'm just saying anything whatever comes to my mind. And today I had a blast on Twitter with these people. I don't even know. But it's like, I mean, I hate that it's owned by Elon Musk, and hopefully Blue Sky or something else will take over and we can all meet there. Nevertheless, until then, it's a community, and we all crave community, which is why a lot of these people buy these wacky conspiracy theories, because it's tribal.
Mm-hmm.
That was
exactly.
Kind of a run-on sentence, but yeah. You catch
well, the
head.
Great thing, the secret, now I've known some conservative people who tried to jump ship. You know, they went over to Truth Social and the various ones that happen, and they left. They got bored after a couple of weeks because there was there was no arguing. There was no dissenting viewpoint. Everybody kind of thought the same thing, and it was boring to them.
They couldn't troll it. There was nobody to troll.
Right.
They couldn't troll anybody. Yeah.
And so they all went back to Twitter. And I think when we're having opposing viewpoints, I don't think it's, I think, don't get me wrong, I think there's a lot of garbage on Twitter and all social media, to be honest with you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Facebook's biggest accomplishment was letting me know my aunt's racist. You know, I mean, but I've had to do that before. Oh, no, no. That's a whole, you know, it was so funny. Since we've talked, Jen, this has nothing to do with anything, but I will tell you because it's a funny story regarding Facebook. And I had some family members that I have honestly not talked to in, I don't know, 35 years. You know, and not, this wasn't direct family. It wasn't like, oh, we got into a fight. No, these were, you know, cousins or whatever. And they found me on Facebook and we reconnected.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful and everything, except this one aunt of mine who, I hadn't talked to her since I was a little kid, you know, and she, you know, we're catching up. And, I said, so what do you like to do? You know, what are your hobbies, you know, socially? What do you like to do? And, you know, I thought it was a valid question. And she starts telling me how she's, you know, on the board of the Daughters of the Confederacy chapter.
Oh, my gosh.
Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm like,
oh, wow. What
I got off
say?
The phone kind of
respond?
Quickly. And, well, I just, you know, I had something with the dog. I had to get off the phone quickly. My wife's like, what's the matter? You look very pale, like you just saw. I'm like, I got the blood in me. I need a transfusion. I can't believe it.
Well,
it's not good.
Yeah. Have you like, talked to her since then? Or?
Well, there was followed by a couple very years of polite Christmas cards and things of that nature. And then she passed on. And there wasn't any bad
one
blood
less member
like that. And I never confronted her because she was elderly and old dogs and new, you know, it wasn't my job.
Yeah.
She's got her own kids. They can, make a documentary or write a book to help their parents.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't my,
yeah.
As my wife says, not your circus, not your monkeys, you know, or not your monkeys, not your circus. I can't remember how she said it, but yeah.
Oh.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So Jen, people can watch this and they can buy the video, they can stream it, they can get it, they can get a copy of the book all through your website, right? Or do they, is there particular places they need to go?
No. The website has a page for the film, like with all of the streaming, and you can just click on one of those. Or, you know, there's also a place for the book where you can click on something and buy a book through your favorite independent bookstore.
Nice.
It's kind of like, it's a shortcut. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. So that's really great if you don't want to, you know, support Amazon. So I always encourage getting a book from the independent bookstore.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And believe me, they appreciate it, I would imagine. Hard to think yourself, folks. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And this is a cool book. Hey, Jen, how cool is this? You have an ISBN number. That's pretty impressive. You know? She's for real.
I should get it made into a pin and wear it on my shirt.
Only
my
people.
ISBN number.
Only the authors listening are going to get that joke, but it's very funny, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
No,
well,
it is.
Well, Matthew E. O'Neill would get it.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Yep.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. And you can even add it to your Goodreads. That's smart. Look at this Goodreads account. You can add your book to the Want to Read list. That's very people look at those. You know, I'm going to put it on mine.
What do you mean?
I'm going to put it on mine today. And I've read it, so.
thank you.
Yeah.
A lot of new stuff in there and a lot more detail and a lot more history, you know, connecting all the dots and stuff. But, it goes
it's
back
amazing.
Further.
And,
thank you.
You know, it's so cool. I have to, now, since we met, Jen, I've been doing the podcast, did a couple of them since we met, and, you know, have become friends with a lot of independent filmmakers and authors.
Yeah.
And I kind of know, first off, a couple things that I didn't know when we first started talking. When I turn on a movie on the TV or something, naively, I thought it was filmed, you know, or made a couple months ago. And I'm like, oh, they knocked this out in the weekend. No, that isn't how that works. It can be years to make a film, you know, and things happen and whatnot. But something else I also learned in addition is filmmakers, the gears are always turning for the next project. I got to know, are those gears still turning in your life?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, the gears turn, but not in terms of making a film. They're more like short-term, little short-term projects that I wanna do. But because, my main thing now is being a caretaker for my mom. And that can really take up a lot of time and a lot of energy. And when you're doing a film, you need to, I mean, you can work at home a little bit, but you need to get out there too. You know, you need to be on set, and at least I do.
Right.
I just think I'm always thinking, like, how can I continue to help make change, truth in media? And I have to say there's some great new grassroots groups like Media and the Media and Democracy Project, Truth Tuesdays. They demonstrate live in front of Fox headquarters every Tuesday. They've been doing it for 2 years.
Nice.
Six Media
That's
Now.
Awesome.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. And they're finally
I love
getting,
it.
Like, yeah. And they're very creative as well. You know, and then hear yourself think. It's very encouraging, although, you know, like I said, I don't know if it's too little too late and we don't have money. So
well,
the left doesn't
hopefully
seem
it'll
to.
Keep happening. Hopefully
but,
it'll
except
keep happening.
For George Soros. I mean,
apparently that's all he does
funded,
is just sit around and write checks.
Yeah, know? Yeah. I mean, I was accused of having him fund my movie. I'm like, believe
me.
It would be a lot more slick.
There would have been
and
a lot of CGI
would,
in there, folks. You
yeah,
know, boom
and
shots
think,
and stuff.
Yeah,
oh.
Right? Yeah, it was just pretty much a three-woman
oh,
team.
Oh, that's amazing.
Moving out.
Well,
yeah.
Jen, so. As your friend, I'm going to tell you this. You know, I think, again, being a caretaker for your mother, you know, what an honor. That is so cool that she's doing that. And she's very lucky that you are. And we are very lucky in this country because not only are you a caretaker for your mother, you're a caretaker for us, too. Like I said, you were one of the first people that I met that was ringing the bell saying, I think there's a problem here, folks. I think there's a problem. And you were 100% right. You know?
Thank you, Jamie. Yeah, unfortunately, I was.
but
thank you. I
is,
do appreciate the accolade. Yeah,
you know,
appreciate that.
We know it happened, and we can change it, and we can make sure it stops happening. That's the
we
thing.
Just all have to. It's all hands on deck.
Yeah,
Me
be
too.
Diligent.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you
be
can
diligent.
Do.
Yeah, and it's you know. It's such a crazy time, and there's so much crazy vitriol out there, and talk of people having civil war. I'm like, doesn't really work that well. You know, I don't see it.
Well, I think that rather than like a civil war where you have two different sets of soldiers and they're fighting on, you know, some land. I mean, I think there's going to be pockets, as there are pockets of violence, and there will be more violence and more assassination attempts and more
nonsense.
Attempts to, you know, rig the election. Of course, we're the ones that are accused of rigging elections. You know, so in
oh,
that
yeah.
sense, you might call it a civil war in that sense, you know.
Well, when people ask me, and I guess just because I'm old, you know, I have younger friends that'll ask, and they'll say, "What do you think, Jamie?" And I'll say, "You know, Chick-fil-A can only operate is if there's people to buy the chicken sandwiches, if they have money to buy the chicken sandwiches. And if you cut out the money, the domino effect happens to all these other businesses." So,
That's true. Yeah, don't go to Florida, folks. Except
yeah,
the Marjane paintings.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Or
no,
buy
really,
a bunch so I can move somewhere, so we can move to Las Vegas.
You can have a revolution. Yeah, your wife would like that. You can have a revolution with your pocketbook. That's what Keith Olbermann always says.
Absolutely. And he's so right. I threaten my wife every so often in that she's like, you know, with all this, I said, maybe I'll just give up this painting thing and just get into politics. Nothing bad ever happens when an artist fails and gets into politics. And she's like, bite your tongue, Jamie. Like I am. For those who don't know, check out your World War II history. Kind of happened in Germany.
Yeah,
the bad guy with the finger
Seriously.
Bird. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Go to your local art walk, ladies and gentlemen, and support all of your artists' friends. That's my advice. I'm kidding, of course. Keep doing this. And thank you so much for what you've done, which is so important. Your pool turned up to 10, Jen. Seriously.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you. Blush.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I feel bad because before we started the show, Jen's like, well, how long are we going to do? I'm like, I don't know. We'll do like 25 minutes, half hour, something like that. My light's been blinking for half an hour. Here it is, an hour. I could talk to you all day, Jen. I could do a Joe Rogan 3-hour podcast. Very easy. Because you're fascinating.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Yeah. My mom thinks so, too.
Yeah, well, she's right.
Yeah.
She's seen a thing or two.
She's seen a thing or two, believe me. Yeah. She's one that got me into politics, really. She was very, very liberal.
The amazing thing is your mom stayed with your dad through all this.
She almost didn't. She almost went.
I don't know if my wife would have.
She
probably
would.
She probably
would. It was difficult. And at some point in I think it was her late 80s, she wrote me an email saying, how do I get my own apartment?
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, I said, well, do you really want to do that? And so they just kind of agreed not to talk about it for a while. They sat back-to-back in the same office, just sending vitriolic emails to each other. Or she would try to debunk him, and she learned how to source, so she would source things.
They hate that. They hate it when you source things. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Those pesky facts.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh.
You know, it is amazing. It is amazing. She got him to put doors on the kitchen. That doesn't surprise me. No, but I will tell any of the guys out there listening and the young bucks or whatever, I shouldn't assume anything about anybody, but I will say this, as an old man who's also seen a couple things, when your wife or your girlfriend or woman or lady starts looking to move, you better course correct. Time to change the sails, because that ain't good. You know?
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the reason. If she wants to move away from you, then that's bad. But if she wants to move and she wants to move somewhere with you, that's a different story, is it not? Yeah.
That's good. I'm telling you, man, if my wife were to leave me, which would be terrible, if I messed up and did something horrible. My wife is going to leave me. I'm telling you, she would take my dog. That's how women are. You know?
I thought you were going to say you'd be devastated.
Oh, I would be. I would be. But she'd be okay. Like, not only am I leaving, I'm taking her too. Think about that.
What kind of dog is it?
Butter sandwiches for dinner. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm sorry?
What kind of dog is it? Is it a rescue?
Oh, it's a rescue. It's a Shar Pei, you know, the wrinkly ones.
Funny. Rupert Murdoch kind of looks like a Shar Pei.
He does. I kind of look like a Shar Pei. Everybody always says you turn into your dog. You know, it's kind of true. He probably has a bulldog. He probably has a startup junkyard bulldog because he looks kind of rough.
Who does?
Just saying, Rupert. Rupert Murdoch,
Rupert.
A billionaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spend some money.
Well, he looks like a
poorly
bred.
That's one of the models
bred,
where they get their
like
work done.
A poorly bred Shar Pei, you know.
I'm telling you, scarred up.
Yeah.
Been fed pizza his whole life. it ain't good.
Yeah.
No. Oh, man. I got to ask you, Jen, between you and me, was that. I didn't get the satisfaction of the Trump indictment that I thought I would have gotten, but I got to tell you, that Tucker Carlson firing kind of did it for me. I was very pleased. It was like, finally, we got a win.
Yeah. unless he starts up on Twitter, but now that he saw Rhonda's fiasco, he might not want to, start up on Twitter.
I hate to say it about Elon Musk. People compare him to Tom Edison and stuff, and I'm like, well, I guess in a way they kind of both made friends and hired people who knew what the hell they were doing. But when it comes to them personally, and Elon's a good example of this, he ain't the brilliant. He's good at hiring engineers and people like that, but if
not
it's
lately.
Him calling the shots, that ain't a good horse to bet on, you know. He can't even get people to buy a blue check mark. Are you kidding me? What kind of salesman is that? You know,
at least
Bezos can sell some books and shave cream or something, you know.
He got rid of too many people. He got rid of too many people.
Exactly. Cut his nose to spite his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can't
That's when you need
and
to
then
invest,
I don't want
even though he spent $44 billion. He needs to beef it up, not cut it down. But they will make that mistake.
One would think.
Yeah.
You know, if we had done that, Jen, that's what we would have done, you know, because we understand basic economics.
ABC,
You know, I will tell you something I think in the character of Elon Musk, and I'm sure people will hate this that are Elon fanatics. It's very obvious to me that Elon has never struggled. He hasn't built him. He's always had it handed to him. And you can tell people like that. I don't do business with people like that. You know, I won't do business deals with people like that because they have no frame of reference, you know. You know, it's very easy when you're just handed stuff.
Did he grow up rich?
And it's terrible. His parents were part of the apartheid deal. Yeah, it's bad.
What?
Oh, they were part. South African. You know, South African white.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
You know. And it's just
What did his parents do for a living?
Oh, I think his father was owned mining companies or something like that. Owned a bunch of mines or something. You know, were they in diamonds?
Blood diamonds. So he started with money.
Like Trump, but Trump's the same thing.
I mean, if I started with money, I'd be rich, too, if I started with money.
All I'm saying is when you're hungry and you've had to eat ramen noodles or something once or twice, you get some perspective, especially when it comes to money. You're like, ooh, I appreciate this. I don't want to go back to that. You know,
when I was in college, we ate spaghetti. We ate so much spaghetti, it was coming out of our noses.
It is so true. We used to get the chicken. We would get chicken and make chicken spaghetti, where you shred the chicken. You know, you get a couple cheap chicken breast,
really?
If you're lucky. I've used chicken wings to do this. And you put it in a can of ragu and over the noodle.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford beef.
We could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. No. Not unless one of your friends stole it from the local supermarket. I have to admit.
I'm embarrassed to admit.
We weren't above that. But, you know.
When you're hungry.
The supermarket saw us coming, and it was like, watch out for these guys. Yeah.
Oh, man.
My friend Tommy stole the steak once. Yeah. It's pretty talented, really, to be able to do that.
Absolutely. What do you get there for, kid? Stole a steak. Everybody moves away from him. You know?
Yeah, he was a big gay guy, so they didn't notice that, I don't know. He was big, so they didn't notice.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Jen, this has been so much fun. Like I said, you're awesome. Thank you for coming on the show again. And keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, thank
Anytime.
You.
Anytime.
I mean, it's good that you do what you do, too, because then you promote people and you support them, and that's a very good thing.
Well, you know, yeah. I try to support cool people. Jerks. No, I don't have anything to deal with.
Not so
I don't
much.
Deal with that.
Right.
No.
Right.
And that happens. People, it's funny. People, hey, you know, it's kind of funny. I try to be a nice person, and, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. But this has happened a few times where people are like, oh, you know, we want to be on the show, and they're, you know, just horrible people. And I'm like, well, I've got very, a very diverse group of advertisers,
you know. You could,
lesbian
you could say,
businesses
I'm,
on there, and you know,
I'm
booked. I don't think it's going to be
year.
A good fit. Say again.
You could say I'm just I'm booked for the next year.
Yeah, that's happened too. That's happened.
Yeah,
you're all booked up right now. There's a waiting list. I'll put you on it.
How often do you do your show?
We try to do it. You know, this is funny because that being said, we just had one cancel. They some stuff happened. They had to cancel their ad or their PR campaign, and so we so next week I was like, oh, we don't have any show scheduled. Great, I get to paint all week. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you know. I woke up and had emails, so now we're going to have some shows next week. But
do you have a,
it was
do
a
you
nice
have a
dream.
Website where I could, yeah, sure.
You know. No, but it's, we try to do it two or three times. I was up to four times a week, and I'm like, that's too much, you know. And then I some weeks only do two, we usually do three.
Wow.
Just because there's a lot of.
It's ambitious.
Well, the show is easy. People are like, what, it's an hour, whatever it is, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that's what you hear. But the actual, there's 3 hours of building the flyers of the show, you know, post-production.
Right.
There's
a lot of work that goes into it. Yeah. Yeah.
Thankless work that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not bitching. I'm not complaining, folks. I love it. The cool thing about the show is a couple times a week, I get to hang out with really cool people that are doing amazing things. And, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I don't feel like doing it today. The thing is, what goes through my mind is I'm like, well, you know, Jen's doing it. she's out there going on Joy Reid show, you know. So get up, Jamie. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know.
There you go. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have a beautiful wife that loves shoes. So, you know, gotta work. Gotta work. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, folks, well, that's going to wrap it up. And, we're leading into the weekend. I want everybody to have a great weekend. And I end every show like this. First off, we're going to convert the show to this show that you just heard into a podcast, and we're going to blast it out everywhere, all the social media, all the podcasts. We're on over 750 podcasting platforms. It's amazing. And that's all thanks to you fantastic listeners. Not only is it amazing, it's amazing that 750 people had the idea of starting a business hosting podcasts. That blows me away. But maybe it's like Italian restaurants in our neighborhood. I think there's about 750 of them, too. I'm kidding, and there's nothing wrong with it. They're all great. I'm a chunky monkey. I love my Italian food. My wife's Italian. Anyway, remember, the world is still weird. And, be patient with people, be kind. And I don't know, somewhere I heard something along the lines of treat people how you would like to be treated. Pretty good advice. Just saying, And if you do have a relative, I want to add this tonight, though, or today. If you have a relative, and you are not alone, that we all have relatives, that has been affected by this onslaught, this virus of disinformation and organized hate, and negativity. Watch this documentary, read the book, because one of the best things in it, I don't want to give it the ending away. I don't want it to spoil the thing. But there was a good ending to this story of yours, Jen. I will say that. I don't think that's spoiling it.
That's okay. I think that's important. It should be out there. I told it in the beginning anyway, briefly.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
There was a happy ending. He got deprogrammed. There is hope.
Yeah.
There is hope.
It shows the power of media as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to cut that stuff off. Seriously.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what? If you were addicted, or somebody you knew were addicted to cigarettes, one of the first steps, get rid of the pack. Stop them
right.
from smoking. That's key.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get them on a vape because then they're just going to be addicted to vaping. I kind of know that. First-hand experience. And I tried to sell that to myself. Oh, this will all cut down on cigarettes. No, I didn't. very true. Anyhow, we got to get out of here, folks. I've kept Jen way too long. Her mama needs to her dinner.
Got to get her mom dinner.
That's right. Some spaghetti with Tommy steak in it. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Yay, Tommy.
That's right. Three cheers for Tommy. Hey, I bet everybody was saying that when he brought that steak home,
Oh, yeah.
Girls got steak.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We'll see you on the next
dead.
One.
Yeah.
Say again?
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Jen, you are welcome anytime. I would love to have you on again. And, let's talk. Let's talk, because maybe we'll do this a little more often than 13 years or 10 years or however long it's been.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah.
10
okay.
years. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
I'll talk to you soon.
Email. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jamie.
Absolutely. Yep. Right. And, folks, we'll see you next time.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.